Hello, I'm Dr. Ruth Roberts. I hope you're all doing well today. And life is good and easy and all those things. And that you're all staying safe and out of harm's way. Had lots of great questions from you today, so I'll go ahead and get started on that. But I wanted to, if you haven't seen it on the web page, or the Facebook page, I should say, Noreen posted some great pictures of the very handsome Mr. Joey. So thanks for that, Noreen. And Bettina posted these videos of Bear enjoying his new backyard. And this may not play enough, but we'll see. Yeah, he looks like he is having a thoroughly good time and lots of space to run, dig, and not eat rocks. So good for Bear, because gosh knows he's had plenty of weird stuff to consume. So let's get into the questions. Let's pop that back up. There we go. And I'll start at the top here. So Jen Schlitz was asking, she listened to the kidney module, and she was wondering why the module recommends 125 milligrams 2 times per day of quercetin for cats with kidney disease, but Misty and Zoe, I had recommended 50 milligrams 1 time a day. And Jen, the big discrepancy is that for general recommendations, I tend to go a little bit higher, but for Misty and Zoe, the 50 milligrams once a day was recommended because they have relatively milder issues. So the trick is if you're seeing the creatinine stay stable at that dose, then continue it. If you're finding that it's trending up slightly, then I would increase it up to that upper level guideline. So hope that makes sense. The Thorn Curcuvet is being discontinued, and we do recommend a Gaia product. But you're right, it is quite a high dose and much higher than the kitties would need. There's several other available options, and probably the easiest would be a tincture product. You could dose it down a little bit lower without too much difficulty. Generally, tinctures are alcohol-based, and so I don't find that is an issue, some people are really worried about that, and so you can dissipate the alcohol by dropping it into some warm water, and that will help, and then mix that in with food. The other option is the Gero capsules, which are also available, and I'll drop that into the comments here. They're 150 milligrams a piece. I think that's correct. Bear with me a second while I snag that. Yeah, and so that would be easier to add in, and I've found really quite good success with that. Yeah, that's at 600. Let me just pop you over so you can see this. So there's the curcumin capsules at 665 milligrams each. And the deal is that you can divide that up much more easily. Versus the Gaia capsules are actually kind of in a liquid form, and that makes dividing the dose up a little bit more difficult. So I hope that makes some sense. So if we pop that in. That's the difficulty, is with this form, it's in a liquid phytocap, so it's more difficult to divide up the actual product. So I hope that makes some sense. Well, let's see. And then one more question Jen had about her youngest kitty, Maverick, showing signs of struvite crystals. And actually, the easiest thing to do with struvites is to add an acidifier. And there's tons and tons and tons of videos where I discuss this, but the most simple way to do it is either with vitamin C or methionine. And for kitty, I would start with about 100 milligrams of vitamin C twice daily, add that into the food, and just go ahead and use pH papers that you can buy on Amazon or wherever, and so you can keep a track on this. Also, there are some urine papers that you can, or pH papers you can just add to the litter box. I think it's probably cheaper to get pH papers. Check the color immediately, and that'll keep you in the right ballpark. So urine pH of 7 to 7.5 will prevent both struvites, which form in alkaline urine, and calcium oxalate crystals, which form in acidic urine, from forming. So there's definitely a way to do that without having to go to the prescription food. And Susan, good to see you. You're asking about Abner with glaucoma in the right eye. Oh gosh, so he had started some ofloxacin drops for an ulcer that now healed, and now he can't see out of it and is on 3 other medications for it. And this really stinks. So my guess is that there was a problem with inflammation inside the eye secondary to this, secondary to the inflammation from the ulcer. And then after that, the meds kind of crank things up. So what's going to be important to find out is this a closed angle glaucoma, meaning the drainage pathway is shut off, because sometimes these guys will improve. And then the other question is there a structure inside the eye that's going to create issues and create the glaucoma? So Susan, I hope that's helpful. That is a difficult question to answer for you, but really at this point, it's going to be controlling the pressure either via medication or finding a way to open up the drainage angle so that more fluid can go out of the eye. So I hope that's helpful. Until I kind of know a bit more about that, it's tough for me to tell you what to do, and even so, that can take quite a bit of research. And Sri, good to see you. I've got your questions on the list as well. Jamie is asking about dermatology visits for poor Willie, because this is the photo she sent over, and she's posted that in the group as well. And Jamie, this is tough because a lot of these guys. And I believe you had said that Willie had MRSA in the past, which is, for those of you that aren't familiar with that, that's the methicillin-resistant staph aureus. And that thing is a bear to get rid of. But the thing that's really interesting here, it looks like there's a couple of pustules here, and you've got several blackheads that have popped open here. So Susan, it's good. I think you do need to take Abner to a specialist, because they really, that's really what you need to do to get those fine points distinguished. So Jamie says, you know, should I take him to a dermatologist? And that she's concerned is all they're going to do is push antibiotic steroids and hydrolyzed diets. And yes, some dermatologists do that, but I think you're at a point where you really need some answers here, because this is a mess. And frankly, if Willie walked into my office, I would do a couple of things, and your vet may or may not have done them as yet. One is to biopsy some of these follicular areas. So can you see these blackheads here? And here, and here and here and here, and make sure that there's not something like demodectic mange going on here, because this keeps coming and going on you. And then if there, this looks like this red area may have an active pustule, and so I would also get a culture and sensitivity done there. So that's really where I would go, Jay. And you know, I hate to say it to you, but I think you need some help. I would get them to review all the things you've done for Willie's allergies, get their recommendations. If all they can do is come up, you know, as a treatment plan with steroids, antibiotics, and hydrolyzed food, then that's a whole another bag of wax. But I think doing some other diagnostics, including a skin biopsy, to make sure this isn't something like bullous pemphigus or, you know, just some chronic disease that needs to be addressed by other means, that's going to be a really important first step for you. So I hope that is helpful. Bernadette is asking about her 14 and a half year old senior dog that's had watery diarrhea for 2 weeks, and it started after starting Vetoryl, and then she was on it for 2 days and then stopped it as soon as the diarrhea started. And she'd been on Xenaquin for a bacterial infection for her arm and probiotics and vet-prescribed metronidazole, and still no improvement. And she's doing sub-Q fluids at home to keep her hydrated. So what else can you do? And Bernadette, this is where I don't think the Vetoryl caused this, because generally they, you know, that goes away pretty quickly. Once you discontinue the medication, the diarrhea should stop. So what I would suggest doing is this: ask your veterinarian for a fecal PCR test. And what that tests for is things like C. diff, Salmonella, Campylobacter, all these really, really evil bugs, because you've now had two different antibiotics kind of within close proximity to each other. My guess is because your pup had been on Xenaquin and then this blew out, is that C. diff may well be present. And so remember, this is something, these are all things that we can get as well. So if you or anyone in your family has been experiencing diarrhea, you also need to go get checked out. But definitely go to your vet, get a fecal PCR test, not a fecal culture and sensitivity, because it just is not sensitive enough. If the metronidazole has not been effective, ideally what you would do is stop it for a week to 10 days, which is what I had to do. If you've got it in, you know, I would stop the metronidazole if you haven't stopped it already and get that PCR test done. If you need some additional help, let me know, but I think that's the first place you need to start, because this truly sounds like an infectious diarrhea. Let's see, Sabine is asking about pancreatitis, and so they're telling him that, the veterinarian is telling her that he'll need to be on a low-fat diet when he comes back, and she's not sure if she can adjust the Croc-Pet diet accordingly. So the good news is that it's actually super simple to do. What you would want to do, Sabine, is use an extremely low-fat protein like fish, pork tenderloin, which actually is lower in fat than boneless, skinless chicken breasts, something of that nature, London broil, any of those. And do not add, add 1 tablespoon of oil only, not the 6 tablespoons of oil, to the recipe, and see if you can get it going that way. Now, because this is going to be lower in calories, you may find you need to really increase the volume of food or add in some additional starch, like rice or potatoes or something of that nature, to keep his body weight up. And if you find that you need to do that, I would almost make this into like a kanji, which is a porridge, essentially, because that is so easy for them to digest. And the way you would do that is make Croc-Pet diet the way you normally would. And then if rice is something that Hudson can tolerate well, then take a cup of rice, and instead of 2 cups of water, add 3 or even 4 cups of water. And what you're going to do is cook it until it's literally a porridge, meaning you don't see any rice grains at all. So I hope that's helpful. I hope he gets home soon. I'm so sorry to hear that about poor Hudson. So keep us posted on that and let us know how he's doing. Let's see, Sri is asking about yucca. And you can definitely use that. It is helpful with arthritis. But I don't know that I would make that the only sort of avenue of reducing inflammation in the joint. The way it works is that it contains phytonutrients that are really potent antioxidants, and that's how it helps reduce discomfort with arthritis. So yes, you certainly can use it, and use it the culinary foods as a medicinal plant. As far as the dosage, I would start with maybe half of one of those roots in a batch of food and see how it goes. You do need to cook it quite a bit because it's very fibrous, and you need to sort of get it all softened up. But there's great recipes and things of that nature. And here's a little web page I saw that talked a little bit about the other benefits of using yucca as well. So I hope that's helpful. And then the other question Sri is asking is goat good meat for dogs? And yes, absolutely. And you're right, in America, this is not commonly used except for in Hispanic or Indian populations or Caribbean populations, where goat is actually one of the most efficient ways to turn foliage, you know, plants and grass and other things into meat that's very delicious and nutritious. So remember, it is a warming protein. So if it is super hot, you will want to balance it out with much more cooling foods, or reserve it for winter time. But personally, I like goat quite a lot, and goat curry especially, because it's so warming and delicious. So I hope that's helpful, Sri. And then Anne's saying, after watching the latest video and the discussion about degenerative myelopathy, I was sad to hear it can be painful. And actually, Anne, that's the distinction often between arthritis and degenerative myelopathy. It is not painful. So, you know, he got the presumptive diagnosis of rear leg weakness and then front leg stiffness. And then so R3's gold and CBD didn't really help. And so her veterinarian is offering gabapentin. And this is where I would consider things like tramadol, which is a narcotic analog, as well as gabapentin to help control pain. The other thing I would ask your veterinarian about is Galliprant, which is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, and it is supposed to be kinder to the kidneys. So that's where I would ask your veterinarian about, because here's the thing about pain, and I am reminded of this on a daily basis, but if you think about 0 to 10 pain scale, so 0 is absolutely no pain at all, 10 is just absolutely intolerable. At a 10, most dogs are crying and vocalizing. Interestingly, dogs often do not start vocalizing or letting you know that they're in pain verbally until they're at an 8 to 10. So if your pet or you has pain and you're cruising along at a 1 or 2, if you get a pain spike, it's easier to get it back under control by taking a medication, things of that nature. But if your pain level is at a chronic 5 to 7, it is really hard to get it back down into that I'm uncomfortable but tolerable level of 1 to 3. So this is where if Max is really, really not moving much because he's so painful, this is where I think it's important to use everything you've got to achieve comfort and then start backing off on the medications and figure out what it is you absolutely need to do. So it is so important for pain control at these guys, because have many of you had chronic pain? If you haven't, from a personal perspective, here's what I can tell you. It becomes the focus of your entire day. It creates lethargy and depression because it just really ranks out. It does really crazy things to our neurotransmitters. If you're immobilized, it ends up creating more pain because you're immobilized. And as your pain windup increases, it tends to be just absolutely horrible to get it back under control. And so in an elderly dog like Max, at some point you need to do things that are a little bit alarming, i.e. using a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs in the face of relatively mild kidney disease. So, you know, this is where you do what you gotta do to get them comfortable, and then start searching for other options. So, you know, things like cold laser therapy, acupuncture, massage therapy, things of that nature. So, yeah, and I think gabapentin by itself will not be sufficient to get it under control. Gabapentin is more for helping to control pain windup, meaning, okay, we're keeping Max comfortable at a 1 or 2 or 3, but when the medication starts to wear off, you get a spike. And so what gabapentin does is like, oh, okay, getting a little uncomfortable, and it prevents that from turning into one of these escalating situations. So tramadol is a more direct pain medication. Gabapentin, I don't know why veterinarians are using it for everything, but it isn't as good as a direct pain med as some of these other ones. So do ask your vet about that. And Sri, you are welcome. Yeah, I love, it's interesting, the Caribbean, the West Indies type curries, they are more kind of lighter colored. I think they use a lot more turmeric, and so that's another good thing to use too. Frankly, that's a better option supplement-wise. And you can add more turmeric to the Croc-Pet diet, but you do have to be cautious because it has a very pungent, drying taste. And so for many pets, if you add too much, it will put them off of the food altogether. So you can look at something like the turmeric supplements, the curcumin supplements I posted above in the links. So I believe that is what I have for you this week. Can you all think of any other questions I haven't answered for you? And if not, it's great to see you. So many of you were sent emails about buying Holistic Total Body Support on Amazon, or, you know, how to opt into Messenger to do that. Thank you so much for making those purchases, and thank you for the reviews that you've put out both there and on Shopify. That's really helping us get Holistic Total Body Support out to folks. So until next week, have a marvelous week, and we'll talk soon. I'm Dr. Ruth Roberts, your pet's ally.